Hey guys, Andrew here with a quick message before we get started. If you remember from last week, we are running an experiment with one of our community members, David Heacock, to help him decide if he should invest in podcast advertising on The Tim Ferriss Show. So we gave him a couple spots on the E-Commerce Fuel Show, and we're going to follow up. We're going to let you know how this experiment pans out in terms of what the response was. It was a success or a flop. So stay tuned for that. But David owns FilterBuy.com, where he sells high-quality air filters for your home or office furnace that he manufactures. And three reasons why you should pick one up. First, the air quality in your home or office is probably pretty terrible. I mean, think about it. When was the last time you changed your air filter? Yeah, I can't remember either. It's probably been years and years, and you've got filthy air floating around, giving everyone you love asthma, like I mentioned last time, potentially allergies. Get a new filter. The second reason you should is David makes this incredibly, incredibly easy. You go to filterbuy.com, you sign up for a subscription, you get a new filter on a regular basis right to your door. And finally, it keeps away these crazy expensive HVAC repair guys. I had one come to my house. It's astronomical what they charge. He left like, you know, $500 later, and it's money well spent to invest in the longevity of your heating system. So check them out, filterbuy.com/e-commerce fuel. You'll get 15 to 20% off everything he offers. And we're going to be following up again with the results of this experiment in the coming weeks. So stay tuned for kind of a behind the scenes look on how it all turned out. All right, on with today's show.
He said he hadn't washed his suit for an entire year. And like that got worldwide media attention. So something about like not washing your clothes freaks people out, and like people want to read it.
Earlier this year, I was starting my morning with a cup of coffee and a copy of the Wall Street Journal when a familiar name jumped out at me. One of our community members, Kirby Allison, and his business, The Hanger Project, were profiled in a page one story right on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. My first reaction was excitement. It's so cool seeing people you're rooting for get major press like this. And my second reaction was one of immediate curiosity. How in the world had Kirby managed to pull off press of this magnitude? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. How do you get press for your business and your store? How do you woo reporters? Are expensive PR firms worth the price? And can you really build a business with one big press mention? Our podcast producer and community manager, Laura Serino, chats with three members of our community to find out how they did it and how you can too.
Kirby Allison runs The Hanger Project, a luxury clothing and shoe care line. Kirby has always taken a traditional approach to getting press. He started out by mailing hanger samples to fashion reporters, and it landed him his very first big break in a column in the Wall Street Journal called The Catalog Critic, where they'd take a product, test them out, and get an expert to rate them.
It finally got published like November 17th or something, you know, right before Thanksgiving. And right as people start thinking about what they're going to buy their husbands for Christmas. And it was a full half page in the Wall Street Journal that was the most incredible piece of PR that I've ever received in my life. And overnight we blew up. I mean, it was like, you know, overnight we had done $30,000 in sales. I mean, I went from $3,000 a month to in one day doing, you know, 30 or 40 grand.
They went through all their inventory in 5 days and had to fly in more hangers from China in order to meet the demand. The article allowed Kirby to quit his full-time job and pursue the hanger project full-time. This piece of press is what made his business.
We couldn't have paid for someone to write that favorably towards us. I mean, it basically was an entire half page of the Wall Street Journal weekend edition, you know, talking about how phenomenal the hanger project was. They gave us an enthusiastic best overall. We had a gigantic photograph of our hanger that was like a third of the page. If I'd written it myself, I couldn't have written it better.
One of the key things that has helped Kirby's business has been to stay in touch with reporters, since you'll never know when they might need you for a story.
You have to be making noise so that you exist for people, so that whenever someone's sitting down in front of their editor and they come up with an idea, they think of you, right? And so this particular writer for the Wall Street Journal had been someone that, you know, we had been reaching out to in one way or another, you know, for the past several years.
Almost 10 years later, the Wall Street Journal called again. And this time, Kirby landed on the front page.
And it wasn't until I was standing in Starbucks, the Starbucks line, like later that morning, that I saw the Wall Street Journal and that, you know, the header piece was featuring the article in which we were written about. And I was just like blown away. So it's a framer. I'll frame it and hang it in my office.
Did you do like a victory dance in line at
school? Oh my goodness. I mean, I think I bought every single issue.
Kirby didn't hire a big PR firm to land him the story, though he had tried that route before. He's convinced that no one is better at selling a brand than the founder.
Everyone enjoys kind of the entrepreneur story, right? And, you know, if you're an owner operator and kind of the founder, you know, no one is capable of better speaking about or better pitching your product than you are.
But not everyone lands great press after a decade of building relationships with reporters. Mac Bishop is the founder of Wool & Prints. When he first had the idea to create a wool shirt line, he wanted to prove the value of a wool shirt. So he wore one for 100 days and chronicled the experiment.
There was always a sniff test. It was kind of just the running joke. You know, I'd show up to a party or something like that, and my friends would be like, oh, I haven't seen that shirt before. Like, nice shirt, Mac. Like, how's it smell? And friends would, you know, give me the sniff test and all that stuff.
Mac launched on Kickstarter, where he featured his 100-day experiment in the campaign. When it went live, he sent emails out to friends and family, and within the first 4 or 5 days, they did really well and hit their 30,000 goal. A day or two later, Cool Materials, a cool gadget and clothing blog for guys, covered the campaign. Then Gizmodo picked it up, and it went viral.
I literally sent 3 emails. The only person that didn't cover it that I sent an email to was Uncrate. So I sent an email to Cool Materials, Gizmodo, and Uncrate. And the first two picked it up, and Uncrate never picked it up. And then from there, it was literally like I had to kind of control the amount of exposure and media attention.
After that, TV and radio stations all over the world called to hear about his 100-day shirt challenge. He made the front page of one of the most prominent Italian newspapers and was even covered by a TV station in Tokyo.
Mac, it's so funny to hear you talk about this so casually, because I think a lot of, you know, store owners and especially people launching Kickstarters, this is like a dream scenario, and you really essentially chalking it up to luck.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of competition that I would say week in the news. It was just kind of a dead week. There wasn't a lot going on. Like, I don't think that ever would have happened with, you know, all the election press and media going on right now. The day before we sold out, we did $90,000. So this campaign in a day.
Wow.
And we just decided this is too nuts. We got to shut this thing off.
Mac had set out to raise $30,000 on Kickstarter. But by the time his campaign ended, Wool & Prints had raised $314,000. The viral Kickstarter covers was what launched Wool & Prints from a crowdfunding campaign to a full-fledged business. But now Mac's a little more careful and intentional about how he tries to drum up press for Wool & Prints.
If we can get a couple bloggers, that's normally better than one of the large publications in terms of the results that we see.
Like Kirby, Mac also thinks that no one can build brand awareness better than the store owner can.
I tend to think that just as a founder, that should be your thing. You should be doing press or just media relations yourself until you get to a certain point. I'm not really sure where that certain point is because I haven't hit that. But I think people just like talking with the founder. And I think no one cares about the business like the founder does.
Sometimes it takes a little bit of everything to get press. Good timing, a great story, and a working relationship with a reporter. Alan Walton is the owner of Spy Guy Security, and he wrote this post in our private forum on February 3rd. He said, "I've successfully reached out to a CNBC writer that covered me previously. She pitched her editor who loved the idea, and I did an hour-long interview with them. They think they'll have something written up next week." Okay, so that's what Alan writes in the forum. And the story he's talking about was about the increase in sales in his business during the weeks around Valentine's Day. Since most people think about buying teddy bears and chocolates around this time of year, he thought that a peak in spy gear sales was interesting. And so did CNBC.
She's like, "Actually, this sounds pretty awesome. Let me talk to my editor and see what she thinks." And then I got an email like 20 minutes later, and they're like, "Oh, they love this. They want to do a story about it. So let's hop on the phone for like an hour tomorrow."
10 days later, Alan's story was on the homepage of CNBC.
she sends me an email and says, hey, we're going to put your story up tomorrow. It's going to be on the homepage. It's going to be up all weekend long. So thanks for your help. And check back tomorrow, Saturday morning, and let us know if you see the story. And so I woke up really early, like 8 o'clock, which is really early for me. And I went to the CNBC homepage and I just couldn't believe that it was on the, you know, it was like the leading story and the traffic that we were seeing on our website. And it was really cool.
How do you actually prepare for this in terms of like a potential huge sales spike? Like, isn't that kind of super last minute, you know, 2 days before things going live? How do you prepare?
Well, here's the thing is that I've gotten press before. You know, I had that Forbes article. I've been doing this for 7 years. I've been at other companies that were getting, you know, coverage in the same type of industry. And this type of coverage never correlates to increased sales for us. So like other companies, it definitely does. I don't sell the type of product that people are like, oh, I want that. I sell the type of product where people have to think about it for weeks or like a month. And then decide, you know what, I really need this product. And then they buy it.
When Alan gets press, it hardly ever results in an increase in sales. Unlike Kirby and Mac, he tries to get press for very different reasons.
I do the press because I want to improve the organic rankings of my e-commerce store. And that's a vote of confidence in Google's eyes. And over time, they're going to rank me higher as a result, which is going to generate more traffic and more revenue for my business. So I do everything. Everything I do media-wise is with the goal of improving my Google search results.
Elaine Pofelt is a journalist that wrote Alan's story. She's written for Forbes, CNBC, Fortune, and Money, to name a few. I wanted to get her take on how to best appeal to a reporter.
One thing I would recommend is being prepared to provide the information that journalists need. In my niche, for instance, a lot of business publications require the businesses to be willing to share their annual revenue and say if they're profitable. A lot of companies are uneasy about doing that. They don't want to tip off the competition. They just are very private about it or whatever. That puts them at a big disadvantage in getting publicity.
Elaine says it's important to remember that reporters aren't there to do your PR. They're there to be a resource to their readers. Another key is to make yourself available when an opportunity for press comes along.
The companies that I see that do best with getting media exposure, the CEO or someone else very high up in the company makes this their top priority. They don't cancel it because they have a staff meeting or some other thing has come up. This is one of their number one priorities, being the face of the company. If you're not willing to do that and you're only willing to try to get publicity in between all the other things, you can still get publicity, but you're not going to get the level of attention of somebody who really puts a lot of effort into it.
Another tip, don't pitch a reporter a beat they have never written about.
Not doing additional homework on who you're pitching, I think it makes you waste your time, because it takes, even if you're spending 5 minutes sending out a pitch, you cut and paste it, that's 5 minutes you could be sending me a relevant pitch on something I cover. So I would say that's one thing. People say do your homework. Homework takes a lot of time, and I understand people don't have unlimited time to do this, but I would say limit the number of people you pitch, but make the pitches well targeted to what they actually cover.
It doesn't matter if you're trying to get press to launch your brand into infamy or if you really just want to rank better in Google. More often than not, getting a media mention is worth the effort. And there's no harm in shooting for the stars either.
I heard Tim Ferriss is going to be doing a 10-year anniversary edition of the 4-Hour Workweek. And I guess that would be next year, 2017. And I would love to be featured as an example of a successful muse, which is his idea for a business that can create income for you and fund your lifestyle. I would love to get featured in that. I can't think of any other thing that would make me happier.
If you get featured in that book, you got to try and get Tim Ferriss on the podcast for me, okay?
Dude, I'll try.
Want to connect with and learn from other proven e-commerce entrepreneurs like Kirby, Mac, and Alan? Join us in the E-Commerce Fuel private community. It's our tight-knit, vetted group for store owners with at least $250,000 in annual sales. You can learn more and apply for membership at ecommercefuel.com. That'll do it for this week, but thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again next Friday.